You, I'm not going to preach division, but I'm going to focus on Hebrews today. Now, Brett and I have been watching the Olympics this week, as I'm sure most of you have been watching from time to time. And of course, there are so many races, running, and well, the running's coming up now, the track and field, but we've had the swimming and we've had the biking. And you know, they all want to win. Of course, they all want to win so badly. I was having a good conversation last night with someone who was telling me about how when the Olympics were originally formed, it was supposed to be about this spirit of sisterhood and brotherhood with nations around the world, and not so much to care which country got the most medals, but that we gathered together and had this peaceful athletic event. And what do we care about now? Do we have more medals, or do the Russians do, or do the Chinese do? They're all incredible just to get to that point, no matter what country they come from. You know, these athletes, they get up at 4 a.m, and some of them are living on food stamps to go and train to get there to that moment. And in order to do that, you have to be incredibly self-motivated, and you also need to have incredible people in your life who are motivating you to do that. Now, one motivator that I know helps keep you going, in at least an athletic sense, is the crowd cheering you on. In high school, I used to run track and cross country. I did that because those were the teams they let you be on, even if you had zero athletic ability. So that's why I ran those. And, you know, anybody who has run on a track in a stadium and had people cheer for you, you cannot deny that that makes you feel great. It makes you feel like, I'm the man. Like, I'm Michael Johnson running through here with my gold Nikes. I feel wonderful. I can do this. I remember one time it was an indoor track meet I was running in, and indoor tracks are smaller than outdoor tracks. This one was only 100 meters, I believe, and I was running the 2-mile race. And so that meant it was 32 laps long, this race. And I was running along towards the end of the race, and I was feeling pretty terrible, because that's how you feel at the end of the 2 mile. But then all of a sudden, I heard all of this cheering. And I'm running along, and I just think, this is great. I'm doing well. I've been lapped 2 times by the leaders already, but like, I'm doing great. And then in the midst of all that cheering, I eventually pick out the distinctive growl of my coach's raspy voice. He was also my AP history teacher, and he had this raspy voice, and he said, Davis, you ran an extra lap. And I said, well, I'm telling you, that cheering gets you up on cloud 9. You're not thinking about what you're doing. I'm just thinking, this is wonderful. I'll just extend this experience for another lap. You know, you're not worrying about anything in the world. Because that cheering, it's a powerful motivator. You know, it makes you feel like there are people out there who care about you, who care about what you're doing, who honor what you are doing and the effort that you're putting forward to do it. You know, the writer of Hebrews is giving us a tour of God's Faith Hall of Fame. You know, Football Hall of Fame is in Canton, Ohio. The Faith Hall of Fame, what's the kingdom of God, right? And we're going through and we're seeing all the people who have run their race and they've crossed the finish line. You may remember the verse we heard last week, and if you're going to memorize some scripture, this would be a great verse to have in your head. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then we hear about all these people who lived as if that were true, like Abraham, you know, who sets off with his family, puts them all at risk to go to a land that he knew nothing about and had no way to make a living there, had no security there. He went not knowing where he was going, but only that God's love was supporting him and walking with him every day. We hear about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, who are three generations in an incredibly dysfunctional family that would rival the best reality TV that we have on today. If you made a reality TV show of the second half of Genesis, you would hear about these people, and yet they believed that God's promise worked through their family with all of its ups and downs and messiness. We hear about Moses, who led the people on the greatest jailbreak of all time, and then led them into the scorching wilderness where they had to depend on God alone for water and food and protection. And then today we picked up as we continuing to tour the Hall of Fame, we heard this long list of people who live by faith, who had the faith to walk through the Red Sea, to speak truth to power as they circled the walls of Jericho, who a person like Rahab, who had the faith to go against her own people, to serve the people that God had anointed in that moment to carry forward the promise. We hear about those who, through faith, and this is an amazing list, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and won strength out of weakness. And then we heard of those whose lives were not so rosy, who suffered torture and imprisonment and death, of whom the world was not worthy, the writer said. We could put so many more names on this list. You know, some of my personal favorites from the 20th century are Dr. Martin Luther King and Archbishop Oscar Romero of El Salvador and Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Desmond Tutu and Nelson Mandela. And you have your own. These ones who have lived by faith in something that they could not see the end of. How about some of your own parents and grandparents, who I know lived with a generosity even when they didn't have much at all to live on? Or those who believed in the mission of this congregation when there was hardly anything to go on, who built this place, and I don't just mean the building, who built the congregation, the body of Christ in this place? Or the people who had the faith to walk with grace and magnanimity, even in the midst of a debilitating illness or cancer. Look at this great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, going back to Jesus and the apostles, and even before them, to the very beginning of creation. They ran a great race, didn't they? The great cloud of witnesses here at St. Jacob's. But you see, they didn't receive the promise on their own. It's not like by their heroic acts of faith that they gained exclusive access to the promises of God, because we know that's not how God works. We don't do something for God and God gives us our reward. God gives us His grace and sets us free from sin and enables us to live this life with faith, which is a gift from Him alone. And so God, as the writer of Hebrews lays this out in his logic, God provided something even better, right? Something that we can only receive, and something that we all have to receive together, and that's the resurrection that awaits us all, the kingdom that is the end of all of our stories that has already been written, and that kingdom that is nevertheless emerging all around us every single day. You see, God didn't want to give it to anyone until God gave it to everyone, to all of us together. And so now it's our turn to run, right? We're in the lane. Maybe you're tired, maybe the wind is blowing at 30 knots right in your face, and it's hard to keep going. But look around. Look around in this place today. The wonderful thing about this race is that we are not running against each other. It's not what it's about. It's about using the faith that God gives us to get us all across the finish line together. And when I say the finish line, I don't mean to do enough to get into God's grace, right? I mean just to get through our lives with trust in God, to live with that faith in a way that enables us to love others, that enables us to be generous to one another, to have hope when everything looks hopeless. We need each other in order to do that. And at the end of our journeys, at the end of our race at that finish line, there Jesus stands waiting for us. And yet at the same time, he has run this very race that we are running. He's run it already. And right now, he's running it with us. And the Holy Spirit is the energy in our legs that allows us to move forward at all, even if it's two steps forward and one step back. And we're not alone. Can you hear them? The great cloud of witnesses. You know, they're in the stands cheering us on. Some of their names we've heard in Scripture. Some of them we hear in the stories of the church. Some of their names are written on these stained glass windows. And so many whose names aren't written there. Some of their names are embedded in your minds and in your hearts, and you carry them with you. Remember what they did to build this place with a whole lot less than what we have now. Remember that this life that we have together of ministry as a congregation is not about trying to win, right? It's not what it's about. It doesn't matter if St. Jacob's ends up being big or small, or if we have a lot of money in our bank account or hardly any at all. What matters is that we hear the good news. What matters is that the Spirit creates faith in our lives and that our faith is deepened and then pours out of us in the way that we live, in how we speak, in what we say and how we spend our time and our money, in what we're able to share with others, who we're willing to associate with. Are we willing to go be with those that our society marginalizes and tie our fate to theirs? That expresses itself in, above all else, in loving our neighbor as Jesus has first loved us. Now, the outcome of this life of faith, of this faith expressed in action, that's in God's hands. We can't control the outcome. But we know one thing. We are all on the same track, and we all cross the same finish line where Jesus waits to embrace us in his Father's kingdom. And so I say to you today, as I go forward to run my race, I know that all of you are going to be up in the stands cheering me on, along with so many others who've been a part of my life. And although I can no longer walk right beside you in a physical sense of walking with you in your life of faith as your pastor, and I cannot any longer do that, please know that I will be up in the stands hollering at you. I'll be cheering for you as you go forward with your life of faith. You know, God tells us through this passage to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. But this is not a command. This is an invitation to step into a gift. Right? We can only do this because we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses who tell us that embraced by the love of God through these sisters and brothers, even though we confess every week that we are going to be sinners until the day we die, we know that sin in Christ has no power over us and it does not control our destiny. In the same way, we know that while there are many scary things in the world and in our lives, many pains and anxieties that are very real, and I would never tell you different, surrounded by God's love and with these people around us, they do not control our life either. They do not define us. How many people have we heard about who from a prison cell like Nelson Mandela or from lying in a hospital bed have changed the world through their acts and words of faith? And I believe that even a small church on a beautiful hilltop through your words and acts of faith can change many lives and change the life of this community, no matter who is here and who is not here. So I invite you, you can lay aside your fears, your doubts, every weight, and run this race looking to Jesus. For though he endured the cross, now he sits at the right hand of God. So keep on moving forward. Don't let anything stop you. Because believe me, you have everything that you need to do the ministry of Jesus in this place. The great cloud of witnesses surrounds you, and Christ lives in your hearts. So please, keep running. And I will be running as well. And if y'all are the ones cheering me on from the stands, I might just run an extra lap.